Pray. Father, we want to thank you for your words, so precious, so good, so powerful. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about heart checkup. How many of you have heart checkup regularly? Only a few of us. I'm one person that if I drink coffee, even 10 p.m. in the night, or even 11 p.m. in the night, I can drink coffee and I'll sleep. They call it the blessed one, to be able to drink coffee and sleep. But last night I was at the dinner, and about 7:30, I have a cup of coffee at this place. I won't tell you where, because it may be not a good place to go. Because after that cup of coffee, the whole night I could not sleep. My eyes was open, wide awake. And usually if I cannot sleep, I will talk to God and say, God, I need to sleep. Make me sleep. And it works. And usually very soon I just sleep. But yesterday, I said, Lord, I need to sleep. Tomorrow I have to preach. Make me sleep. It didn't work. My eyes was open. So what do? I had a checkup. I checked myself. I had my own palm. And I was shocked to find that my blood pressure was 160. Said, wow, why is this so high? You know, and the whole night, it was very high. Until this morning, I said to the Lord, Lord, I need to get it down. And thank God before I came, it dropped to normal. Through asking the Lord and to praying a bit of the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is very important. Heart checkup. I think it's quite appropriate for the last sermon I'm going to share. I took this passage from 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24 to 26. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. What a place to be. But he prayed to the Lord. Even how thy situation you are, you can still what? You can still pray. No use complaining. No use getting angry. He still prayed. And he prayed to God. He prayed to the Lord. And he spoke to him. And God spoke to him and gave him a sign. So God told him, Hezekiah, you're not going to die. I'm going to extend your life. Is it a good answer? Not every good answer from God make us give God a good response. God gave him a good answer. God said, I'll give you 15 more years. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him. For his what? What was his? His what? His heart. His heart was lifted up. Going to die, he prayed. God said, I give you 15 years. He didn't appreciate it. His heart was lifted up. He became proud and arrogant. What a behavior. You know one thing about the heart? Whatever that is here, people can see your heart through your what? Through your attitude, through your action, through the what? Conversation, through your countenance. Apparently, for what God had did to him, you would expect a grateful response. But yet, the Bible tells us his heart was lifted up. He became proud and arrogant. Therefore, wrath was looming over him. What wrath? God's wrath. God's displeasure is one thing. God's anger is another thing. God's wrath is the highest form. So God's wrath was looming, moving around his head, moving around him, over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the day of Hezekiah. We know how important and how critical is the human heart. I hope you take care of your heart, because this heart pumps life to the whole body. You know, and you cannot miss a beat of the heart. You need every beat. You do not want it to beat too fast or so. I have a problem, and that is my heartbeat is faster than normal. I've been taking medication for many years to lower down the heartbeat. So you don't want this heartbeat to beat too fast. But then this heart has the ability to pump, you know, to pump gallons, 1 gallon and half of blood, and it pushes through the whole body, through the blood vessel. What is the average age of an Australian? If an Australian, the average age is 82.5. Lifespan is 82.5. So I'm thankful that I was a Singaporean. I became Australian citizen. So now I'm 82.5 lifespan. And you know, in that lifespan of 82.5 years, it said that your heart would have pumped, would have beat 2.8 billion times. And it takes only 24 seconds for the blood to flow from one spot to another spot. So what do you want? You want a what heart? You want a strong heart. A strong heart, not a weak heart that miss its beat. When I go to the supermarket, whether Coles or Woolworths, you see that there's a constant reminder that you need to take care of your heart. And you look at some of the things you buy, they tell you this is low fat, no fat, reduced fat, low sodium, healthy choice. So the supermarket tell you, buy things that is good for your heart. I was impressed by an advertisement by Subway. How many of you like Subway? Not many people like Subway, I know. And it was about a man who advertised in this Subway, and he said that I'm 86 kg, but now I'm only 40 kg because I've been taking Subway. You know, and then he said that my health is better, my heart is not overworked. Not only weight stress your heart, stress itself can stress your what? Stress your heart. So you need to unstress your heart. What are the things that stress your heart? I'll tell you what stress your heart. The care of life. How many realize that? It's so easy for us to be consumed by the care of life. Jesus talked about the care of life. And sometimes we worry about life too much. We forgot that the Father who look after the sparrow, that clothed the lily, can look after what? Can look after us. So stress stresses your heart. And the care of life is one of the things that stress you. And so why be stressed by worry and anxiety that you have no control of? How many of you realize that? 90% of the things you worry and you stress about, you have no control of. How many of you realize that? Only 10% you can. But we get stressed and it affects our heart. It's time for us to unstress our heart by learning what Peter said, casting all your what? All your cares. In our translation is that, cast all your anxieties, cast all your worries on who? Not on your wife. Not on your children, not on others. Some people like to unload everything on other people. Poor Pastor Kara, sitting there hearing all people's problems. But the Bible says we should cast all our cares to him? Why do we cast to him? Peter said, because he cares for us. He cares for us. Is it not wonderful that we can live a stress-free life? We can give a lot of attention to our physical heart. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, we must also consider what heart? The spiritual heart. The heart that God has given to us, created in the image of Jesus Christ. The physical heart is important, so is the spiritual heart. And we must make sure that this heart that is created in the image of Jesus Christ, this spiritual heart, do not get diseased just like the physical heart can get. The disease that you have to watch out is the world, the pleasure of life, the cares of life, the things of this world, in this present world, that can eat up your heart for God. Then, the danger of neglecting spiritual discipline. Discipline and disciple, they flow from the same word. To be a disciple is to be what? Disciplined. And there is some spiritual discipline for our Christian life that we need to always watch out for. Because if we don't take care of the necessary spiritual discipline for our life, then our heart will be out of shape. It will be weak in what? In conviction. When we have a healthy spiritual heart, we have a healthy conviction of sin, of righteousness and judgment. The Bible talks about having a conviction of what is to come. Do you know not every Christian believe what is to come? They can see the world that is in turmoil. They can see the sign that is so close and happening according to Matthew 24. But not every Christian is convinced, have this conviction of what is to come. Do you realize that? So we need that spiritual heart that is pumping for God, to have a conviction, especially in this last day that we are living in. You cannot afford a watered-down conviction or a half-hearted conviction. You need a strong conviction of who God is. There is a world there that want to redefine God, want to repack God, want to reshape God. But God is what? God is God. And we need to have this conviction, no matter what the world say and what people talk about who God is, and what, if it's not in line with the Bible, throw it out. A conviction of who God is. He is unchangeable. A conviction of His unchanging word. You see, we live in a time where people like to take out certain things out of the Bible, throw out the Old Testament, throw out the Gospel, pick up the things that suit us. We need to realize that the Bible is given to us fully as an instruction for righteousness, correction, edification. And we need to have this strong conviction that God's Word is an unchanging Word. This strong conviction that the warning that the Bible gives us in the Bible are true warning. I have this, and you must have this strong conviction of His coming warning and the conviction of His great promises. The heart. The scripture says the heart is the real you. You know a person by what is in the heart. This is what Proverbs 27 verse 19. As the face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. In those days, they don't have mirrors, so they look at the water and the water reflects their face. Oh, this is how I look. But the Bible says the heart actually reveal who you are, the real you. Jesus said, out of the what? Abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speakers. He said, if the heart is a good treasure, if the heart is a good storehouse, then what that comes out of the heart to the mouth will be what? Will be good. But if the heart is a bad storehouse, if this heart has been hurt, has been bruised, has been disappointed, if this heart has been very critical and cynical, let me tell you, whatever that flows out of your mouth will reflect the heart. Wonder God said to us, it's important for us to always take care of our heart. John said this word, if your heart do not condemn you. Condemnation is not just what you think. The Bible says, if the heart do not condemn you, you have what? You have confidence to stand before who? God. That's why it's important for us to take care of the heart. Because this is the place what you desire is here. This is the place where you decide. This is the place where you deliberate. This is the place of conscience. This is the place for your feeling, your desire, your passion, your thought, your understanding, and your will. They are all formed in the heart. And yet, you need to realize this is the place. The heart is the place where God can turn you, speak to you, convict you, and empower you. You need to take care of your heart. God wants what? God wants my money. God wants my time. No. God wants your what? God wants your heart. When He has your heart, He has what? All of you. Could you ever tell your wife, you can have my money, you can have this, you can have that, but you cannot have my heart? Tell her that. She's a renewed woman, and I'll tell you what she will tell you. Impossible! You know, so God wants your heart, and He knows when He has your heart, He has all of you. But we see in the Bible that there was a man by the name of King Saul. He was a man that has no heart for God. We see David, he is a man who has a heart for God. A man after God's own heart. A man who is wholehearted for God. But we also see a man called Solomon. Solomon was a man who was half-hearted for God. Sometimes he don't want God, sometimes he don't want God. Can I ask you and challenge you that the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all your heart. Not some. All your heart. Solomon, half-hearted. That's why eventually he shipwrecked his life. The passage which we read is about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is one of the Judah's greatest king. In fact, 2 Kings verse 18, chapter 18, verse 5 tells us that no one was like Hezekiah. You know, if you look at Hezekiah, he is as faithful to God as David. He was such a great king that he could lead the people in reform, genuine reform. And when he led the people in reform, turning their hearts to God, it brought national revival to Israel. We know, of all the things that he had done, he was not a perfect person. Let me tell you, you will never be a perfect person. But one thing he is, he was what? Tender-hearted. We need to become what? Tender-hearted. I don't know about your heart. I have followed the Lord more than 45 years. I have to check my heart all the time, because things that happen to me can make my heart very hardened, very cynical. Hezekiah had a tender heart. Not perfect, but he has a tender heart. He has weaknesses. You know, just like David. You know, David also have a tender heart. And we know one thing. You know, when you have a tender heart, God can deal with you easier. God can speak to you. God can lead you. But when you have a hardened heart, you resist God. You resist what? Others. It is impossible to say, God, my heart is soft to you, but I am hard to all these people. It's impossible. If your heart is soft to God, you will be what? Soft to others. If your heart is hard to God, you will be hard to others. And if you are hard to others, you will be hard to God. It's impossible. You can only have one heart. You see, when his heart got lifted up, after God promised to give him 15 years, remember this, tender heart turns to who? To God. When God answered his prayer, instead of gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness, Hezekiah's heart was lifted. He became proud. And when you become proud, just like Hezekiah, he forgot about God. Is your heart tender or proud? It's so easy to judge Hezekiah. What kind of person are you? Have you ever told people, what kind of you like that? It's so easy to look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah, what kind of person are you? What's wrong with you? God has been so good to you. You know, he had just given you 15 years. Can't you, don't you understand? It's so easy to say that to others. To see Hezekiah and say, you are ungrateful, unappreciative, unthankful. But let me tell you, the facts of life is this. Any one of us here can be like Hezekiah. This is the warning of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. You realize that? Does it shock you? Oh, I didn't know you were like that. No, it's not that you didn't know the person is like that. He's always like that. He only managed to cover it well. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. His heart was lifted up. His heart that was usually so tender and so easily yielded to God became to be filled with pride, be filled with self, and he forgot about God. As a result, God was not pleased with Hezekiah. And soon God sent a rumor of a coming invasion on Israel. Wake up call. And when he hear about rumors about the invasion that is coming upon him, he get a wake up call. And it was a shocking call. And I think sometime in our life, we need a wake up call. We need a shocking call to get us wake up. Hey, why am I doing this? Have you ever traveled and keep on doing things? Then you realize, hey, gee, a slap from God A warning from a brother or sister may make us say, hey, why am I doing this? This is not right. That's what happened to Hezekiah. He got a wake-up call. And quickly, when he got this wake-up call, he saw his error, his pride, and he repented of his pride. You see, Hezekiah, it's one way you can say that he was not kind of the kind of man, when trouble comes to him, he cry against God or he cry against other people. But for Hezekiah, when trouble comes to him, the first thing that came into his mind was, what have I done that has brought me this trouble? That's a good way to start life. Many people, when trouble comes, is what have you done? You caused this. But not Hezekiah. All of a sudden, he came to himself. Tenderness helps you to look inside. Proud helps you to look. Why you are like that? He asked himself, what have I done to cause me this trouble? Instead of pointing finger, he searched his own heart. And then he realized that his pride was the cause for all his trouble. And in his self-examination is very important. Know yourself, and to yourself be what? Be true. Know yourself. Search your own heart. And as he began to see himself, and he saw himself that I'm the cause of it, he repent. And his repent, his example moved the people with the same kind of reflection, and they repent, and the threat of invasion was delayed. My message to you is check your heart. It is the fundamental requirement of Christian life. Chances are, most of us, because this old ground of checking your heart, we often forgot, overlook, and neglect. But I need to remind you, as Paul said in his letter, the basic things need to be reminded and repeated again, because Hezekiah forgot. David forgot. We are prone to what? Forget. Why do we have communion? To what? To remember. God looks at what? At the heart. Sometimes we may be able to put a good show. We may be able to hide. But God sees the heart. And he saw the heart. Not the outer appearance. Not how good you look or how well you are able to sell yourself, represent yourself, or promote yourself. God sees and weighs the motive and the intent of the heart of what you say and do. And he knows the condition of the heart. He wants you, and he wants your heart. He wants you to love him, serve him, worship him, and know him. From where? From the heart. Not from the what? Lips. When Jesus came, the religious leader were all lips what? Service. God is looking for heart love, not lips love. God is looking for heart service, not lip service. God is looking for heart worship, not lips worship. God is looking for heart knowing, not lips knowing. It's very easy for us to go astray and forget about him. But one thing I know from this passage, when Hezekiah recognized that he has forgotten about God, that he had moved away from God, he cried to God, he repent, and God remember. Just like David. They sin, but they did not hide from their sin. They did not justify them. They did not excuse them, but they took responsibility and confessed them. They admit to God, God, this is how you see it, and I agree with you. And they repent. And God forgive them, heal them, and fill them with the joy of his cleansing. May I ask you this morning, over time, has your heart become hard? Become cynical? Have you turned away from the things of God and pursue after other things, this endless thing? Over time, has things happened in your life? The disappointment, the hurt, and the pain had taken a toll on your heart. You become cynical, less loving and trusting, building a wall between others and you. Let me tell you, no matter what has claimed your heart, God wants you this morning to give your heart to Him, to come back to Him, and to recognize that your heart belongs to Him because you belong to Him. So three things I want to end up with you. Firstly, constantly live in the new heart. This is what the Bible says. When you came to Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He gave you a new heart. New birth. You must be born again. New birth brings what? New heart. Not a renovated heart, not a modified heart. It brings a heart transplant. Say amen. The heart transplant of a new heart. This is why Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and verse 27 say, I will give you a what? A new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove the stone heart from your body and replace you with a heart that is God's will and not self-will. And I will put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my command. Because I need to recognize that God has given me a what heart? A new heart. And if God has given me a new heart as a child of God, a new heart created in His image, I don't live with the old heart. The old heart has an old nature, has old desire, has old liking. The old heart do whatever it wants. Because the old heart only pleases one person, me. You see, here is where the Christian struggle between living the new or the old. This is what Paul said about two nature in you. One nature wants to do what is right but cannot. The other nature says cannot do but want to do. So the Bible clearly tells us as Christians, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new one, new creation. He's a new creature. Therefore, God said, I put a new heart in you. And this new heart has the ability to love me, has the ability to do my will. Because in your old heart, you won't want to do God's will. You want to do what you will. But this new heart that God has given to me in Jesus Christ has only one desire. As Jesus said, Lord, I have come to do what? Your will. We need to recognize, as you check your heart, am I living my Christian life as a new creation? As a new person? With this new heart? With the new spirit that He has put in me? Am I? The second thing you need to do is to check, is to guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life. For out of it spring forth the issue of life. The Bible tells us that we need to guard our heart because the heart intake is very important. Doctors tell you, you want a strong and a good heart, you must be careful of what you want. What you eat. So, as Christian, what are you eating for your spiritual life? There are too much junk food on the website. Do you know what is junk food, what is right food? So you got to guard your heart by the intake, to be careful that whatever you eat will affect you. Because if your heart is taking upon the things of this world, the value of the world, the program of the world, it will make your heart weak and compromising. The next thing you could do about guiding your heart. I told you that my heartbeat is, but since I've been cycling every day for an hour, I force myself to cycle for an hour. I'm not those people who like to cycle at home on the stationary bike. I like to go out and feel the air. Actually, fact, Norman, I found that cycling is a real good hobby. Should have picked it up long, long time ago. And I realized, hey, I've been cycling an hour every day. That when I check my heartbeat, it dropped. It dropped very good reading. The heart needs what? Exercise. Your spiritual heart also needs what? Exercise. Not just hearing, not just receiving, not just information. You need to exercise. You exercise with the word, with prayer, with fellowship, with Christian service, because your spiritual heart, when you exercise, will make it strong for God with strong conviction. So the Bible tells us it's important to realize that for the heart to be strong, you need to guard the heart, and you guard the heart by the intake. What is the intake? Be careful of what you see, what you think, what you say, what you do, what you hear, because it all goes into where? Into this storehouse. This storehouse. And this storehouse, the end, will come out from where? From the mouth. Will come out from your attitude and your values and your life. So, guard your heart. Guard your heart just like a soldier guarding the city gate. The heart is the city gate of affection, devotion. It's the city gate of foreign values and foreign invasion. Guard it. Hold tight, be alert. Be alert and be a disciplined soldier guiding over a camp or a castle to protect the king within. If you have been a soldier before, you know what is it to do guard duty. Andrea, you have not. I think John Paul also have done that. If you have done guard duty, the most critical time is between 1 to 3. That's the time that you want to what? And I'm telling you, brother and sister, we are living in a critical time. Be careful that you do not fall asleep. And lastly, about the heart, check your heart. There is examining your heart. Today in our communion, Xiang read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul talked about the Lord's table, how we need to examine our hearts so where we take communion in a worthy manner. Not because we have worked for it, not because we deserve it. In a worthy manner means that we examine our heart, judge our sin, and confess them to God. Because when we take communion with our confessed sin in our life, we are guilty of the Lord's body and blood. He was nailed on the cross for our sin. That's why communion is a good time to check our heart. That's why the communion is a good time to check not just for our spiritual life, it's also a good time for us to check our relationship with the body of Christ. Hello? You know, people can come to church, I'm telling you, take communion in the same church, and they have something against another brother or another sister. Come on, folks. Paul talked about that. Communion is a time where we set ourselves free because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. How is your heart this morning? How is your heart this morning? Guard your heart. Examine your heart. And make sure you have the right intake. This heart is very important. You want to finish your Christian life till the end? Pastor Kara and me have talked about how we should, as we grow older in the ministry, we want to finish well and we want to finish strong. You want to finish well, you want to finish strong. It comes from where? Here. The heart. The heart is the issue. Let's pray. How is your heart this morning? Have you been checking your heart for God, your heart for the things of God, your heart for His Word, your heart to fellowship with Him? How is your heart this morning? For your soul to be well, you need your heart to be well. To be connected to the God, the one who your mouth have confessed, "I love you, Lord." Examine your heart. Have you allowed anything foreign that should not come into your life, but you allow it to come in? Examine your heart and say, "God, remove it." Have you forgotten about Him? That God, I know I'm a Christian, I know who God is, I know, but it's just the lips service, not the heart service. Just the lips knowing, not the heart knowing. Brother and sister, to finish our Christian life well and strong, you need a heart for God, for the things of God, for the conviction of God. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? Why don't you talk to the Father this morning? And if you need the Holy Spirit to align your heart to Him, to align your heart to God the Father, to align your heart to the first love that is supposed to be in you, lift your hand to Him and say, "Lord," just as Hezekiah prayed and cried to You, this morning, Lord, I lift my hand to You and say to You, "Lord, I need You. Jesus, Father, I pray for Your Holy Spirit this morning. Your Holy Spirit that created in us a new heart in the image of the Son, that your Holy Spirit will quicken and refresh and generate our heart afresh from you. That every stony heart will be removed for God. Every heart that has been hurt and disappointed, that the bitterness that's in the heart will be removed, oh God. That today, oh God, that you'll give us a sweet and a tender heart. A heart that knows you, that cries in you, that believes in you. A heart that says, I know whom I believe. Lord, I ask you, do the surgical work by your Holy Spirit this morning. I speak, Lord, the new heart that you have promised, that you have given to us when we believe in you. Lord, we pray the new heart to grow stronger and stronger as we grow stronger and stronger in you, God. Help us, Lord, to live in the new and not in the old. To surrender the old to you so that the power of newness that is in your spirit, God, may begin to work in each one of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All I want to sing is His name.